We Like Doing It, episode 405 starts now. My cat is on my microphone.
We're doing great. You would not guess.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Like Dota, the internet's casual Dota 2 podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Sam the Plaid Pirate, joined by Baby Bok Choi. Hello, Charlene.
Hello, Sam. Casual is right. We're super casual here.
Super. Two of the most casual hosts you could find. Mm-hmm. Making a mockery of our intro, but hey. We're here. I'm glad we're here.
We made it too. Yep.
Episode 405. It's been a while for both of us, I would say. Mm-hmm. Have you been playing much Dota recently?
Actually, in the grand scheme of things, the answer is no. But in the micro scale, as in the last, 2 weeks or month even, yes, but I'm pretty sure Bay and I are both going to put it back down. I don't think either of us are, I think if we play through the patch and the release of a new hero, we might just get addicted again. So I think we've put it down for a long time, picked it back up, enjoyed it, and now we're putting it back down.
You know, I think that's a very healthy way to go about things. When did you put it down ish?
Put it down well before TI, actually. We put it down for I want to say maybe 3 or 4 months leading up to TI, so last summer. And then we went to TI, and then even then, after we came back from TI, we didn't play a bunch. So really, it's been a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was TI without
playing? Oh yeah, we actually we did a little bit of an episode with Jim where Bay and I talked about it, and TI was great. Just for both of us, it was our first one. But the energy it's just so cool being around other people who are nerding out about the same thing, right? So yeah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Yeah. I saw that. I was sad that I missed the theme Thursday that you played on.
Oh, no. I thought you were actually going to be in the lobby, and then, I was sad too.
I forget what happened. I think, I don't know why. It might have just been time for me to go to bed. I turned into a pumpkin.
That was actually such a great game. Do we roll into Dota feelings? Because that could be a Dota
feeling. Let's do it.
Yeah?
All right. Let's go.
Oh, yeah! Oh, look at it go! Oh, yeah!
So, yeah, that theme Thursday that you're talking about was... Loins on Radiant versus Underbite Heroes on Dire. And I do not remember everything. What I do remember is that Greg on the enemy team was playing Spirit Breaker, Zach on the enemy team was Lifestealer, and we had Jim on Shadow Demon, and that's from minute I think 10 in the game onwards, it became obvious to Jim that all game Greg was just going to try and charge him.
Classic. Yes.
And then eventually it would be Lifestealer infested charges. I don't even remember who was I was playing Lion. The other thing from that game that was fun was Jim saying that he really wanted to like block an enemy from my finger of death. And we kind of spent all game. I even Russian eggs because that would mean that our cooldowns synced up. And we would try to see if we could somehow like telepathically sync it up, but it didn't. I don't think we actually achieved it.
It's pretty tricky.
It is pretty tricky. It's actually a very high level play, right? Because you gotta, I think the cast animation of the disrupt is a little bit longer, so he's gotta cast it before I finger, right? He's gotta anticipate when I'm gonna do it.
That's hard. Challenging, especially
it's
if you're,
very
if
hard.
You're not telling him.
Yeah, I know.
For people who are maybe trying to figure out what we're talking about, Shadow Demon's Disrupt, which is his cue where he
puts them in a bubble,
or
right?
An ally in a little ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yep.
that's the way to play Panthers.
Yep. Oh, that was such a great game. Oh, and actually, the loss ended up being that we were on Radiant and Dire got Mega Creeps, but we actually successfully did a team wipe on them. And I think we, with the adrenaline and excitement of getting a team wipe, we let our guard down and Creeps just ended up finishing the game. Like, we were just talking.
That's
and then the game was over and we're like, yeah, we brought it back. This is a comeback game. Oh, wait, it's over.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. I've been taking That's up enough awesome. Time, though. What about you, Sam? Like,
no,
have you
I
been
like
playing
this.
Any Dota? Do you have Dota feelings?
Like yeah. I've been playing Dota. I've been trying to play with Jim and the crew on Thursday nights. And then in between, you know, when I feel like it, I just play Turbo. I don't play normal games.
Okay, yeah.
Aside from Thursday nights. And I played one, had a highly enjoyable game with. So it was, I was playing Slardar. They told me to pick a fish. And they told me that Slardar was good. So I was like, all right, Slardar fish. Nick, your friend of the show, Nick Uranium Heart, was playing a carry, a number one carry Hoodwink. Our mid player was Shadow Fiend, the host of the other podcast that we don't talk about, Ursi. And then Greg was Crystal Maiden, and Jim was a four Dark Willow. So it was me and Dark Willow in a lane. And we had a great time. We were going against a PA who was annoying. The PA did this weird build. I don't know if this is the normal build, because I don't know how Dota works. But the Conda.
Oh,
thing?
Yeah. Conda is this new item that on, if I'm remembering right, it applies like the damage, your auto-click damage or something, but when you use a spell. So for basically the idea being, if there are carries that have like a spammable spell, I know Sniper's ultimate, Luna's like Lucent Beam, and PA's Dagger, those are all like pretty low cooldown things where the idea is if you hit someone with your thing, you do additional damage that's based on your damage on top of the spell. So yeah, PA Conda is actually a thing. How was it playing against that? I hope I even got that right for any listeners.
No, you did. You're much better informed. I had it up just in case.
Oh,
it's what you described.
Okay.
It also slows them.
Oh, okay.
So it does the bonus damage and it slows them, and then there's a passive that gives you a chance to do additional damage. But how was it? We thankfully did okay in lane. We just kind of traded farm, but then our beautiful mid player came and we killed PA like twice
nice.
in like quick succession. so she had like a pretty slow start. And so I think by the time she got the conda, it didn't feel as horrible.
Mm.
It didn't feel like oppressive to me.
I'm also not a carry player, but I'm pretty sure conda also, it's not usually like a mid-game item. It is a later game item, so you need other items to make your conda better.
So the build she did was like power treads, desolator, conda, ags, satanic basher.
Okay. I can't comment on that.
Fair enough. I mean, neither can I. Yeah. I mean, eventually she definitely started doing good damage.
Mm-hmm.
Cause she did get items eventually.
Right.
The game was like, the game was really fun because it was like typical R stack where like we came out of laning stage pretty strong, actually did some like pretty for us like good things during the mid game,
mm-hmm.
and then like things started to happen where it started going back and forth and we were like row row,
and then it was always forward never back.
And then, but then we like pulled it together, which is usually not what happens. So it was pretty satisfying.
Nice.
I have to say, I never thought that like Hoodwink as a position one carry like would be very effective, but it was pretty great. Nick had a great time. He was just like. He was doing his like sniper thing. He rushed a Gleipnir, then he got like multiple Daedalus.
Nice, nice.
It was silly in the right way. It was fun. It was a fun game. Also, found out that Dark Willow can cast Bedlam on her allies.
Yes. So yeah, her doing that. I think it's not just part of this, like the kit. It's either a shard or something, right? Like, I don't think it's free.
Maybe it's a shard.
Yeah. Okay. Or a talent or something. It's not free. But
it was really fun.
Yeah, because putting that on a Slardar is great.
It was great. it felt great. I don't have too much more to say. It's I don't know. Dota's still Dota. I don't know a lot of things that are going on, but like it's fine. I don't like need to. I think, like you, well, we were talking about this a bit off air, like, I don't really miss, like, the actual playing of Dota all that much,
mm-hmm.
but I definitely miss, like, hanging out with the community and, like, playing Thursday nights and recording the podcast.
Yeah.
Those are the things I miss.
Yeah. Same. Like, to me, I think I've matured in my Dota approach, right? Like, I think initially it was more along the lines of it actually being a player versus player competitive setting. Not that I was ever like, super, super competitive. I never, you know, watched my own replays or anything like that to actually get good, but I would, to some degree, kind of study the game a little bit. And then I don't know, the last like 5 years, decade, it's just kind of slowly eased into like, oh no, this can just be a pastime. It's a way to hang out with friends, and like winning doesn't really matter. It's like just hanging out, doing stuff together, trying to have your shadow demon block your finger. Like, yeah. There's no stakes. It's a video game. So yeah. Have fun with it.
We definitely had the wrong objectives.
What I will say is that I think that like competitive, whatever you want to call it, edge is still scratched by, for me at least, by following professional Dota. Like I can still see high level play and appreciate good Dota without having to be the one putting in the legwork.
Without trying to do it yourself.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, do you want to, speaking of Frodo, do you want to do your shout out?
Yeah, now? Yeah, I was thinking that could be a good time. So speaking of Frodo, a huge shout out to Permisnees. Like, he's right now one of the main, like, caster analysts on the panel for the Elite League that's going on that has, like, a lot of the top teams there. And unfortunately, I haven't been able to watch any of the games live because of the time difference. So it's at, like, 5 or 6 a.m. my time. But I have definitely watched, like, little replay reels and stuff and, like, I don't know. It's just, it's cool, right? We know the voice. We know, we feel a little bit closer to the person. And it's just, it's kind of, it's really awesome seeing someone from our group make it. And we give you all the support. You're doing awesome, Perma.
Woo woo.
Woo.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
I mean, we always knew what we had. We were like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't mean that.
Just, yeah. Yeah. No, it's always, it's exciting.
Cool. Well, do we have more Dota feelings that we want to share? Or should we move on?
I think we actually had a lot of questions, and I'm sure Dota feelings will naturally weave their way into us answering some of those, so maybe we can just go
perfect
there. Yeah,
let's do it.
Holy shit! If you want peace, you must prepare for war. If you want war, you must also prepare for war. The lesson is always prepare for war.
We have lots of questions. Thank you everybody for all the questions. Sadly, it seems we're having a little trouble with our where the questions go.
But it's everybody okay. We'll just do the Discord and scroll.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody did a great job using the nan ask command, and then it's our end that is having a bad time. But we'll start at the top. So, Uncle Bourbon writes, "What were Valve thinking when they decided to host the next international in the cursed land of Denmark? Question. Definitely not asked by a Swede."
I think they were thinking Europe. I don't know. Maybe they wanted a place that... Denmark is not Copenhagen. I was going to say maybe they wanted a place where there's drugs and prostitution.
What else? Is the capital of Denmark.
Oh no. Now I have the stupid North American. The ignorant North American. Oops.
I wonder where they're having it in Denmark. Copenhagen is an amazing city. I had the best time visiting there. Which is definitely colored by the fact that I got to eat at like the best like Michelin star rated place.
Oh. And
it was really cool.
Whoa.
Oh, speaking of, I have to recommend you a book. Adriana's sister is a like food scientist, and she wrote this cool book that I think you would dig because you're a scientist.
Okay.
Anyway, oh, everybody should get it. Why am I putting this in the middle? All right, everyone, Flavorama, go get it.
Flavorama,
it's at bookstores everywhere. It's really fun. She made all the illustrations. She makes it real easy to understand, like, why things taste the way they do and what your body's doing when it, you know, is eating and drinking.
Nice.
It's really fun. And there are recipes in there. It's very approachable. Like, she wrote it for, like, stupid people like me who don't know science.
Ignorant North Americans.
Correct. Yes. People who don't know where Denmark is or if Copenhagen is a city or a country.
Yeah.
But to Uncle Verma's question, you know, I don't know. What's wrong with Denmark, man? Denmark's good. What's so bad about Denmark? You're close by. You're a Swede. That's fine. Go to Copenhagen. Go wherever it is. Denmark. I don't know where it is in Denmark that they're having it, but I guess I could maybe try and look that up. But I don't know. It seems fun.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next question. We're moving on. My Discord does this weird thing where it like shortens people's names. So like,
oh,
the next question, I don't, can you read the next one? 'Cause I don't know their name.
I think it's Gabe Gonzo. And he says, what's the best core hero to play as a support these days?
Ooh.
Gyro comes to mind.
Oh, that's a good one.
His, like, the little rocket in laning phase is pretty annoying. If they can get you alone, the little, is it flat cannon? Or whatever it is that... Mm-hmm. No, not Flat Cannon. Flat Cannon is the one that does the extra auto attack. Rocket Barrage? The one that just like does Rocket it over Barrage. And over? If they stick on you?
I'm just agreeing with you.
So, yeah, I think Gyro is a pretty good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think... so, I accidentally... picked Slardar in my turbo game, and so I played him as a four. It was great.
Yeah.
I think Slardar could be a four. You just are a little stun bot.
Yeah.
And you put minus armor on people. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What's so bad about that? You have a tiny Ravage.
Yeah.
It's kind of great.
Yeah. Especially for like four heroes who maybe just have like that one item that they want to get. So like if you just want to get a blink.
Right.
As a four, you can offer exactly. a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it would actually work in a real game, but hey. Whatever.
There's actually a great transition between this question and the next. For a little while, Terrorblade was getting picked up a lot by pros as a support because what is it even called? The one where they bring up illusions of yourself and you like hit yourself, that was pretty good in lane and harassing. So they're like, oh, turns out you don't just need your metamorphosis to get right click, you can also like zone out as a support and then save your cores by health swapping with your ultimate. So this segues into the next question from Porkchop, who says Terrorblade has been nerfed to stay in his carry lane. Do you think in the next patch, heroes will be tweaked to fill fewer roles and not have as many flex picks? Asking that, I do love my unconventional support heroes, so I don't know if I'd like that.
I can't comment at all because I have no idea
what is being asked
or anything. No, I do know what is being asked, but I don't have enough information because I don't play enough serious Dota.
I'm in the same boat. I wouldn't say that I know a lot more, but I'm gonna just say, I feel like Ice Frog and team have generally been trying to move to a spot where the game is more approachable and like interesting. Like lower barrier to playing and like not needing to get good. So if I believe in that philosophy, I want to say that there's not necessarily going to be a like pigeonholing of heroes into slots or roles. Mm-hmm. I think there will always try to be a little bit of like flexibility in terms of whether you want your hero to kind of based on the talents or your skill build, like choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Have faith.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. Yield Raven asks, what kind of food should they be serving at the next TI?
Oh, in Denmark? I don't know. I don't know what foods there are.
What is the best food in Denmark?
I know how to further entrench my ignorant ignorant North American. Ooh. Like, generally in the area, I feel like there's, like, Norwegian and Belgian waffles, so I don't know if Norway and Belgium are close enough to Denmark where they also have waffles. Is waffles a thing?
Well, I remember like dark rye bread being like unbelievably good there. It was somehow really moist but like extremely savory, just great mouthfeel. Everything about it was really good. Just a really good dark rye bread. I think like pickled fish, like herring, is a thing.
Oh, okay.
In Denmark.
Yeah.
Probably like some sausage stuff, perhaps.
Sausage. Okay, sausage. Okay.
I don't know. Whatever they want. Oh, they have those open-faced sandwiches that are really good.
Open-faced sandwich on a waffle.
On a waffle? Not so sure.
What do you mean? Have you had chicken and waffles? Like, savory waffles are great.
Of course. Yes, no, I'm pro-waffle. I just don't think it's a traditional Denmark type of food. I'm just saying that there's this thing. I don't know how to say it, but it's like, it looks like the word s'more. And then broad, B-R-O-D, s'more broad. And they're like these cool open-faced sandwiches with like little nice like fish stuff and some pickled stuff. Okay. And it could be like eggs or like mayo. Like it's just, okay. It's nice.
Sounds like that would go better on a rye bread than a waffle.
if you want waffles, get some. Sure, it's great. All right, we're moving
on.
Tex S. Do you guys think the current vision, or does he mean version? Current vision of TI is relevant, beneficial, better than the past?
So I think I can define that a little bit.
Okay.
At least, maybe not define it, but just reinterpret the question or give context for how I'm going to answer it. So sure. Current vision, I think, is a little bit two-part. First part being that I think before last TI, so last TI that came back to Seattle, so it like went around international for a bit, and then it was finally back in North America. Right before Valve announced that there wouldn't be a compendium and that...
Right.
Yeah, so, like, there were still... I can't remember what it was, like, caster... Like, you could still buy levels or, like, a thing for voice lines, I think it was, if you wanted to support the prize pool. But they took away the compendium. And so that's, like, the first part. But then the second part is... the reason why, which I don't know how big it is or if it's even accurate, but the reason that I heard is because Valve wanted to shift the direction of the culture of Dota away from being so focused on professional Dota. And instead of if you really think about it, they were taking a huge hit on profit by not doing this. And the reason they said they were, like, the philosophy or the guiding principle behind that, which I think is the vision part that Tex is referring to here, is that they want to focus more on the general Dota experience rather than the pro scene, because the pro scene can be a very, you know, specific meta to base the game on. So I think part of that has you can see a little bit of that in the patch that came out before TI when they expanded the map out, in that my read on it was that it was breaking up the game, because I think for a while, as much as you can try to either introduce more items or heroes, ultimately the game kind of was reaching some kind of capacity in terms of like how much, you know, variable space is there to explore with this combination of things. Adding more heroes or items only changes up the permutations so much, and it can only get so interesting. So I think they literally just needed to expand the game, and they did that by adding more map and adding you know, the twin gates and the fact that Roshan moves from one side of the map to the other. Mm-hmm. So I think by doing all of that, it's just really changed up the game and shaken it so that there's not as much of a meta. And then I think with what they did with TI and saying to the public, we're not going to monetarily focus on the pro scene in that way anymore. There's another part that Tex elaborates on, which is handling cheaters and cheating software. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really cracked down on like second accounts or smurfs. So all of this, I think, that was a really, really long-winded context. I'm so sorry. No, but so to answer the question of do I think the current vision is better than the past, I would say yes. I would say it's more... it's a more socialist approach. It's for the general public and for the people to play. It doesn't mean that there can't still be competitive play. There's obviously still going to be a percentage of the population that, you know, really digs into the mechanics of the game and does well. But I think it's more inclusive almost to really think about like, okay, but rather than catering to, you know, the professional scene, how do we cater to the other 95% of the people who play our game?
Yeah, no, I think that was really well said. And I agree. I think, I don't know, I kind of think the pro scene will be, the pro scene is always like pretty different. You know, it's like they're playing their own game. Mm-hmm. That's like pretty separate from my right. Like 1.5k MMR, you know, situation. And so, I don't know. I feel like they will be okay. You know, like the person yeah. I think will be okay.
And I think there's still enough, like even without a huge, you know, TI. So last year's TI prize pool was one of the lowest, or if not the lowest. I don't think it was the lowest because I think TI 1 was 1 million. So oh, I think sure. It was like 3 million or something like that. Like it was low coming from before the one before, which was like 40 point something million, right? It was a huge drop.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see. Yeah, just to continue to kind of follow yeah. and see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. What's the next one? Oh, from Greg. With TI being in Copenhagen, which heroes belong in a Little Mermaid theme?
Ooh. Naga Siren, because she sings yes. and she has a fishtail, so she's Ariel. Who else? You need a flounder? I mean, you need a crab?
Yeah.
You need a Poseidon.
Oh, wait, aren't there some crab? Oh, Nyx. Nyx
Ooh,
is
Nyx crab.
Skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we need a prince?
Yeah, we do need a prince. There are plenty of princes.
Yeah.
Is Invoker a prince?
Is he?
Not sure on the lore on that one.
Who would Ursula be? I know Death Prophet has like one octopusy set,
oh,
I
really?
Think. But I'm trying to think of someone who embodies Ursula a little bit more. What would...
Yeah, a little spookier.
Yeah. Well, Death Prophet
well, I guess
is spooky,
Death Prophet.
Maybe spooky. Death Prophet?
It could be Death Prophet.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is Morphling involved in Little Mermaid?
Is there like a wave at the end that tips the boat or anything like that?
I don't know. I'm like actually not very familiar with
Morphling. I know that she wishes for legs, but then she loses her voice or something.
Something.
And then she has to like be kissed before something, or then or she gets turned something. Back, and I don't know. who's Flounder?
I don't know. Who is a Flounder? Could be Slardar?
Yeah.
Although, I feel like Flounder is more wholesome than Slurpee.
How many did we do there? Got Naga. Nyx. We got Naga and Nyx. Well. We got Naga, Nyx, Death Prophet. I say Morphling makes it.
Oh, could he be King Triton?
Oh, actually, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's not too bad.
You know what? I'm sure there's like seafaring people. Throw Kunkka in there.
Kunkka? Sure. Okay.
Maybe Kunkka is the prince when he gets older. Good.
Ariel falls in love with Eric, and a storm later wrecks the ship and knocks Eric overboard. That's totally Kunkka.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Good. We nailed that.
Perfect. All right,
we
did great. Moving on, before anyone can say otherwise.
Zach asks, what's the most unhinged Dota binge you've had, or the latest you've stayed up playing Dota? I did a stream once with Josh Dreams Roberts, and we raised some money for charity.
Nice.
Stayed up a long time doing that.
How long was it?
I don't quite remember, but in my mind it was like a real long time. We played lots of games of Dota, and we raised some money, so we you know, it was for it wasn't like unhinged. I don't think I've ever had like a truly unhinged Dota binge. I've had other unhinged binges, but not Dota.
You haven't imbibed in the Dota yet.
What about you?
I know that when I first started playing Dota, it was pretty bad. I think when I first started playing, there was one night where I just played like, I want to say 10 games. And it was something from like right after I got home from lab until like 4 a.m. the next morning. It was like, I didn't do that often, but I think I think that definitely did happen.
It definitely happened.
Yeah.
Aisha asks, are there any other games that scratch the Dota itch for you? What part of those games appeal to you? I would say no. Dota is a particular itch.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, I like very casually play other games, but I have like 3,000 hours on Dota and like nothing more than like, I don't know, maybe like 200 on something else.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah.
No, I agree. Dota is Dota. I've tried playing other MOBAs and no. Like, I think to define the itch, it's that mix of team play along with gameplay. Like, I don't think there's something quite... I honestly think that Dota is one of the best like designed games when it comes to its mechanics and stuff. I think that that on its own already makes it hard for any other game to come close to. And then the team play aspect of it is kind of specific to MOBAs, which I don't think happens a lot. So, yeah.
I'm with you. You want to read the next one?
Sure. Gabe Gonzo says, what is the best anti-Dota game you've played? That one game that is a great complement to de-stress from Smurfs and Griefers, but is a completely different game style. So, perfect question to follow up.
It's like a salve. Okay.
Yeah.
A bomb, an aloe. Okay.
yes. mine is probably Stardew Valley. I feel like it's the antithesis. Oh. It is, you go from multiplayer to single player. I know that there is like co-op, but I'll play it alone. So you go from multiplayer to single player, and then you just like, there's... No, the only objective is whatever one you want to do, right? Like, you can't lose at Stardew Valley.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
What about you? Do you have a...
Just, so I've mentioned this, I think, in the past. Just, I play NBA 2K, but I don't actually play. I play it as a simulator. So I just take control of a team. I don't play any of the actual basketball. I just make weird trades. And I simulate all the seasons. And it's so relaxing. It's great.
That's so great. Like, that you like found a meta way of playing the game.
It's just like year 2052. I don't know any of the players in the league because they don't exist. And it's extremely silly and low stress, low stakes.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Permasneeze. Next question from our very own Permasneeze. What is your favorite Dota meme and why?
Does he mean like a meme build or like literally a meme?
I think that's open to your interpretation. I interpreted it as like cultural event or like something that happens on Reddit or like a news piece. Like, that's what I was thinking.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Do you want to go first?
There are ones that come to mind, but I don't know if any of them are my favorite. I think I'll just pick within our own. It's not like popular meme, but I would say our very own series against Arkosh. Nick Uranium Heart actually clipped Sir Action Slack saying, "That's not a good sign." something like that. It was in response to one of the plays. And actually, in the same game, there was another moment. It was Jenkins saying fuck you to Bay when he navigated his courier over the trees because Jenkins was playing Nature's Prophet and was trying to courier snipe. And he just shouts, fuck you! It was great.
My favorite moment from that game is when Sir Action, I think it was Sir Action Slacks, he's looking at mid lane with Aaron. What's this guy's MMR? What's he, 2K's MMR? In the weird Slacks voice.
Yes. Oh, that's a great Slacks impression, by the way.
I'm not sure about that. Slacks is my favorite. He's the man. I think my favorite meme is again like within our community of just playing with Arian and having him repeatedly yell Eemee, dude Eemee. Yes. I was playing Ogre Magi and he was just yelling at me to bloodlust him, but he wouldn't say bloodlust.
The thing is, like, I think he does that because it's so versatile. It's because I think Caudle's chakra magic is also E, right?
True.
I don't think at the time he was playing it would have been Lion's Mana Drain, but like Dota does kind of have like the passive, I think, or something. There's like a little bit of a style to what's on QWE and R. So I think Eevee is just Eevee. yep.
Miss Arian.
Miss you, dude. Hope you're listening to this.
All right, Mr. Fancy Pants. He says, I just joined the Dota Dads Club.
Congratulations.
Yay. Woohoo! Now that I'm a parent of a fussy baby, I have a whole new range of pointlessly contrived questions to ask. For the parents on this episode, who is your most played hero and what does that say about your parenting style?
Ooh.
Well, you are a parent to cats.
I am a parent to cat, counts. Yes.
One cat. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. R.I.P. Taco.
What? So my most played hero is Undying, and I haven't played him in a long time, but I should, because now you can play him as a 3, and his Q does damage. So I don't know what I'm doing. I think it's because I like now playing. When I first started playing Dota, I felt like nobody understood how his, like, super low levels of MMR, people didn't understand how the Q worked, and like that your strength was lowering and your HP pool was getting lower. But as I played the game more, I liked having a stun much more on my hero. I just found it like to be higher utility or just like easier to execute.
Yeah. So I will say what does Undying has the best taunt.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Yeah. So you're a dancer. As a dad, you dance around.
I do dance. That's good. if I'm at a wedding, I dance. I'm not like a very talented dancer, much like Undying. And yeah, what does it say about my parenting style? I mean, I definitely identify a lot with a zombie. I have two kids.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Is it soul ripping at times?
Soul ripping at times. You know how he has that hat where he's a miner?
Yeah.
Like, he's mining some like green ore. I feel like I'm in the mines some days.
No, we're going to save this episode and play it for your kids when they grow up. They'll listen.
They'll be like, what is Dota? Why are you such a loser? what is your answer to this question?
So earlier I was trying to type in to like Dota Buff and Open Dota because I actually don't know off the top of my head who my most played hero is.
Mm.
So I unfortunately can't answer this question like with that. But I think it's either Crystal Maiden or Venge. I think it's one of those heroes. Or Mirana. So I would say CM and Venge are in the similar camp where I play them both as these support heroes. So that as my parenting style. I don't know. It's kind of classic. Like, I would swap my baby out, you know? I would do anything to protect.
That was such a little Canadian,
you know. Whoa, I'm officially Canadian. It's caught on audio now. Me doing a very Canadian, you know. I would say that I'm supportive. I am there for auras if it's a CM, or sacrificing myself if it's a Venge.
Perfect. Yep. Love that.
Yep.
That. Charlie, the Dota heroes start recording podcasts. Mm. What's the dream lineup? Who is the most toxic but frustratingly popular?
I mean, Axe has always been our go-to answer for things, right? He's I think the fact that he like refers to himself in the third person would make him great as like a host.
Yeah.
Like Axe likes this.
He would be like the Joe Rogan of the two podcasts. Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Frustratingly popular.
Is he toxic a little bit? He's kind of he's absolutely callous, right? He's
toxic. All right, who else is on our dream lineup?
I've always liked Clockwork. I think Clockwork is like kind of nerdy, but like funny. He makes these jokes and stuff.
Let's see. I feel like
would it be weird to have either Jakiro or Ogre get two in one, or Alchemist?
Ogre is like simply too dumb. Like, I just don't think that would work out very well.
You're right. Maybe that's not part of the dream lineup. Okay, what about Jakiro?
Jakiro, I'm in for. Jakiro seems fine. He seems like maybe a little like vanilla, like, and I'm not sure
how. Who has takes? That's really what you want in a podcast. We're missing, right?
Honestly, dude, Dark Willow is the spiciest.
She's pretty spicy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know who's sassy, actually? Monkey King. He's pretty pretty rude sometimes, but like in a poke fun at way, not a troll warlord way.
Yeah, yeah.
So like he could be like the antagonistic kind of like bitchy one.
Like that.
Alright.
I think we've done that.
Neil.
Neil.
Is this the best spring of the decade?
Oh. Well, not a lot of competition because 2020 was bad.
Yeah.
We're just talking about this decade, so the past 4 years. 2021, still recovering, and, like, not fully, at least in my part of the world, was not back to normal. So 2020 and 2021, not great.
Agreed.
2022, I don't know. What was even going on in the world
in the spring? I honestly still felt like it was a little bit of like bouncing back from the pandemic. Right.
Yeah. And then this spring,
well,
compared to 2023, right? That's really what we're comparing. Because the other ones we think are ruined by COVID. Yeah.
We've simplified the problem.
Yeah. For me, last spring was extraordinarily stressful because we had a limited amount of time to pick up our lives and move to Boston. So I had to like sell my house and figure out a new housing situation and do all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't a great spring for me while my wife was like finishing school and having a lot of stress
in regards to that. Fair enough.
So yes, this is the best spring of the decade. I got to experience the eclipse in full. It's full 100%. We traveled to New Hampshire. We stayed at the bougiest hotel. Whoa. We were originally going to go, coincidentally, we were going to be in Burlington, where I later found out Jim was, but we had a Motel 6 booked, and they canceled on us because they're doing good work. They're housing unhoused people. So they were like, hey, sorry, we can't honor your reservation. We're like, fair. Mm-hmm. You're actually doing a good thing. My mother-in-law was like, we could go to this resort in New Hampshire. I was like, yes, great. Get me this $500 a night. It was at like the foot of the White Mountains. It was incredibly beautiful. Anyway, it was a great vacation and very cool to see the eclipse. And yeah, best spring of the decade for me. Sure. Yeah, why not? What about you?
So 2020 through 2022 are just not in the running. And I honestly can't really remember my 2023. And I know that I am really loving the spring that's going on right now. Like, my raspberry plant is thriving. The weather is great. It's the Pacific Northwest, so it rains, but like it's nice spring rain. I don't know. The air just feels so clean afterwards. So it's pretty nice so far. I'm not gonna lie, I'm wondering how the summer and like wildfire season is gonna go and if it's gonna get super hot, because I just feel like there's been a lot more like extreme temperatures, right? So
so far so good.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Oh, Elihu asks, I just finished a game. This was our mid. Guess the hero.
Okay.
Boots of Travel.
Blink Dagger.
Boots of Travel, Blink Dagger, Meteor Hammer, Shadow Blade.
And a Smoke.
Smoke of Deceit.
And they went 121 and 4. Okay, so they got one kill. Died a lot.
Who builds a Meteor Hammer? And a Blink Dagger.
I want to say Magnus for some reason. I don't want to hear myself.
Okay. I don't think.
But.
He answered. That's actually really going to bug me, but I don't know the right answer.
I think Meteor Hammer is just. It's not really built a lot right now.
I was going to say, like, OD.
Oh, yeah, OD is someone who still likes it. Could be OD. I'm gonna go weird and maybe also say Venomancer.
Okay.
I don't know how we'll know the answer to this.
Hopefully.
So Zach made some guesses and Elihu said no.
Oh, okay.
So it's not Bane or OD.
Alright. Well, we'll report back. Alihu, I'm sure, will put the answer in eventually. Yeah. Last question. Dora the Destroyer. Am I the only one who never has any clue when someone posts a picture of items with the caption, guess the girl? You and I both, Dora.
Yeah. I think sometimes, they're usually, the point is that it's such a ridiculous build that you couldn't guess the hero, right? So right. Actually, I think a lot of our guesses were trying too hard to make sense of the build. And it's going to be something really stupid, like a disruptor or something. I don't know. Really stupid. Sorry, Bea. Bea would say, how dare you say that mid-disruptor is stupid.
Oh, I miss
Shout Bea out to Bea. Yeah. Wait, isn't Bea in Boston? Maybe you could go and flesh out really? Bea. I don't know, but maybe it's worth reaching out.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for doing this. Yeah. This is fun.
I am remiss. I actually had one other thing that Bea asked me to specifically share on the podcast that is Dota related. So I'm sorry for not doing this in Dota Feelings. But he highly recommends, like, since both of us are going on Dota hiatus again, I guess he wants this to carry on. So he really thinks that the meta right now, barring any major changes, I guess, in this upcoming patch, is really sleeping on core Bloodseeker, like carry Bloodseeker. Oh. The build is to go, is to max your, oh no, am I going to get this all wrong? Let me look up Bloodseeker really quickly. Bloodseeker.
You got this.
Ah! The stress! So the build is to actually max your blood right. For laning, that's the thing, it's the splash on the ground that does the damage. Yeah. And silences if they stay in there. He says that part is a little bit unconventional because most people will lane with like their thirst and their blood rage. Blood rage is the one that attack more and stuff. So the build though is to get a point in thirst and blood right. That's kind of like your laning. You end up getting 2 points in thirst. You max your blood right. Whenever it feels right, you get like a point, I think, in your blood rage. I don't know if that's true now as I'm saying that, but the idea is with your blood right max build, you get out of laning phase and you build a radiance. Radiance will allow you to farm along with your blood right to get an Aghanim's. Aghanim's gives you a new spell called Blood Spray, which is another thing that you can activate where the things you kill give you a shield, which means you can essentially like double your health when you go into a fight. On top of that, while Blood Spray is active, you like do passive damage and you slow the enemy. So between that and your radiance, you also like amplify the healing ability that you get from your I think it's thirst now or something that gives you the heal. So it's just like that's the build that synergizes really well. Like out of laning, you want to have your blood right maxed. Your item progression is face boots into radiance, into Aghanim's, into a cloak, into a bloodstone. And then once you get that Aghanim's, even before you get the cloak and the bloodstone, you're pretty, like, you have a really good kit. So that's a huge mid game power spike. And then once you get your bloodstone, you're kind of unkillable in fights. So
interesting.
I hope I didn't butcher that. Go and try it out. he's convinced it's going to be like, if pros can pick up this build, that it'll be pretty cool. And hope it doesn't just get nerfed and that all of that was moot.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, perfect. Hey. All right. Well, we'll do this. We again. Will. Even if we're not playing a ton of Dota, we'll do.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll still pop in for a theme Thursday or two and have something to say. So thank you, listeners, for bearing with us. We made it. I struggled in the beginning to get my bearings again with doing a podcast and talking, but here we are. Thank you. Thank you, Sam.
This is great. This is very good. All right. We're stopping. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Love you very deeply.